You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Bun Jalung woman Eleanor Bancroft is an Australian-born artist, storyteller, teacher, director, mentor and founder of The Returning and OYHI Creations. And she's joining us on NITV Radio. Thank you, Ella.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing in this unique time?
I'm doing well today.
And how have you been spending the isolation and lockdown?
Well, I'm lucky to live in the Northern Rivers of New South Wales. So I've been spending a lot of time just with my adopted family, which is just the people I live with, and in nature, really, and just taking this opportunity to slow down and connect with the people that I can and have a slower kind of paced life.
That sounds nice. You have created the YHI Collective. It is an Indigenous-run social enterprise that looks to challenge the ways in which businesses can make a difference. That's from your webpage. And you're currently working on reducing landfill by remaking T-shirts made from upcycled waste. And I was wondering, how do you transform waste to a T-shirt? How does that all work?
It's pronounced we, which is a Gamilaroi word for sun goddess. So it's recreations. And basically, I wanted to start a business that was founded in kind of looking to how we can still make a profit and an impact in community without jeopardizing our relationship with the earth. Clothing being one of the largest contributors to pollution around the world, just behind oil. It's actually the second biggest. So when I started the company a few years ago, it was embedded in the idea of slow fashion. And basically what I wanted to do was take T-shirts or clothing that was going to go to landfill and repurpose it. And through the evolution of the business, basically, it's now become T-shirts that would go to landfill that are then repurposed with strong activist messages on them. And the whole idea is that no new clothes are made during the production of WeCreation. So it's either dead stock that we buy that are going to go to landfill or just straight off the op shops or hand-picked from places where they're about to send it to landfill.
Oh, wow. And what are the messages on your T-shirts? Can you share with our audience?
Yeah, some of the messages are connect to country, also, can I swear?
Yeah, maybe. You can say the first and the last.
give a beep is one of the other ones. Decolonize to thrive and decolonize to survive. I think that might be all we've got in stock at the moment. But yeah, basically the idea behind the messaging is to start opening up your eyes and I guess taking nature and the environment into consideration when thinking about every purchase. So
I guess nowadays this is a bit of an uncommon message, especially from a point of a seller, to be telling people to be considering every purchase if we need it.
Yeah, I think nowadays there is a very like hard and fast consumerist society that we live in, and we don't necessarily see the impacts or what that is doing to our environment because a lot of it is done offshore. But by outsourcing our fast fashion and supporting fast fashion, what we're actually supporting is child labor, and environmental toxic waste. You know, it's more than just buying a cheap piece of clothing. It really has a lot of blood, sweat and tears associated to it.
Apart from this, you're also organizing various gatherings, women's sensuality immersions, and also a gathering called The Returning. Can you tell us more about these meetings and immersions?
Basically, The Returning started about 2 years ago from my need to want to see a returning to community and land-based skills and a place where women could gather and share. The biggest problem that I've found in my like 20s and into my 30s has been that often these workshop spaces are only designed for the privileged few. So I wanted to create a space where every woman was welcome. So we actually offer scholarship tickets to refugees, Indigenous women, low socioeconomic women, and single mothers. And the idea is that basically 65% of our attendees are non-paying or on exchange tickets, and only 35% of people actually pay. And it's a full weekend where we learn things like yoga. There are amazing talks about the importance of localization. We do different kinds of dance passed down different lineages. There's weaving, plant dyeing. Yeah, it's always changing, basically, depending on what time of the year we have it. But there's always more than 15 workshops and two panels with elders and women in the community that deserve to be heard and have their voices raised.
Where did you find inspiration for these?
My inspiration is embedded in being a Bundjalung woman myself and feeling like as we move more and more into the future that we're losing our connection to each other and the land. And I wanted to create a space that inspired people to remember. And that's where the returning and the idea of returning comes from, because whether we're Indigenous or not, part of our bones and our ancestral lineage was that people worked symbiotically with nature and with each other. So even if it's hundreds of years stored in our bones, which is where our ancestors lived, then there's still a remembering when people come back to nature, because all human beings are part of nature.
That sounds like a really interesting project and amazing gathering. What about the other one? What about the women's sensuality immersions?
So basically Women's Sensuality Weekends and Immersions is about diving deep into female empowerment, and it's all women. And a lot of the work that I do is gender specific, because culturally I believe like it's very important to still have women's spaces where women can gather and talk about the things that they need to in their life and support each other. As a woman myself and identifying cis woman, you know, it's really important that these spaces are created for women so that they can have held containers. And basically it's a weekend to dive deep into exploring oneself so that we can feel empowered as women and that we can activate our voices when we step out into the rest of society and know what we want and how we want it, basically.
Lots of classes and meetings and gatherings have moved online. Was that something that happened for you as well, or did you just wait until the restrictions will be eased?
Yeah, I absolutely did not move my things online. I have a huge resistance to the technological revolution. I am rather opposing of thinking that it's just business as usual to go online. The deep core of my events is embedded in human interaction and the energy that we share when we occupy a space and what happens to the land when we all gather on it. This is how, you know, Indigenous sacred spaces were created in time, was that humans came to that land and they practiced ritual and they practiced culture, and that's what really helped the environment and the human beings to thrive. So yeah, I didn't move my things online, and I'm really waiting for things to be lifted before I move forward with my projects again.
And what about your book? So you wrote a book of poems, It Takes Courage to Tell the Truth. And I found that really inspiring, really beautiful. What was your main thing that took the most courage? What truth was the most challenging to tell for you?
I think the whole theme of the book is embedded in the idea that truth is something that lies within, well, you have to read between the lines of society to find the truth. Really, as a mixed heritage Indigenous woman, I found that, you know, that I really needed to dig deep in order to feel like I could live a happy and healthy life. And for me, it's not taking cues from the dominant society. It's actually actively looking to ancient civilization, Indigenous people around the world, and see how they worked with community and the land. And that's been my biggest truth, is reclaiming my culture and really actioning it in every day and bringing ritual back to my life and keeping my spirituality alive for my lineage.
How was the process of creating a book of poems rather than another form of art? How did you decide to manifest this through your poems?
I guess I have always had a really strong relationship with slam poetry and poetry in general as a form of storytelling, and falling back on my ancestors and the way in which we would share stories and knowledge would be such an oral tradition. So for me, I really loved the idea of performing words, but I wanted to get these messages down at a point in my life where I thought that they were really poignant breakthroughs for me. And the book is dedicated to every woman around the world who is a mother, because I think it's the most important job that we have in anything is raising the next generations. And I really am a huge activist for women being paid to be mothers, and for that to be seen as one of the most important roles over being a CEO of a business. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things in there that could maybe trigger people, but I'm open to healthy debates, and it's just my perspective on how I've managed to understand the world that I live in.
You said some things can trigger people. Have you had negative reactions to what you were saying? That do you think motherhood is so important? Surely everybody would agree with that, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are differing opinions on everything. Definitely my writing sways more to pro-women, for sure. And that is just because I think giving voice to oppressed and voiceless is really important. And I think there's still a lot of injustice within gender equality. And so I've definitely had backlash from men specifically about running all women events, speaking to women's issues. That's definitely been something that I've had to deal with. But at the end of the day, it's embedded in who I am. And so people can essentially challenge me on that, but that's my innate truth. And I need to be honest with the way that I walk through the life and the way that I see the world.
What was your way of coping with that?
I mean, I think honesty, you can't really deny somebody's truth, you know. If I'm speaking purely from my experienced life, there's not much that somebody can really challenge me on those ideas and values, because it's my way of being and it's what I really believe. And anybody that wants to challenge a strong, independent woman for speaking out for women, I think it's something that says more about them than it does about me. And really, honestly, you know, a big part of being a writer is, and putting that out into the world, is dealing with people who backlash. I don't really care what people think of me, to be honest. I'm super in my integrity. I have a very strong connection to myself and my truth. And I most certainly am not writing to oppress other people. I'm writing to lift people up and put them in a space where they feel seen and heard.
I guess many people now who are listening find that really inspiring. How can they connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, email elanoabancroft@gmail.com is a good way if anybody wants to get in contact. I also have a website, which is elanoabancroft.net, which has got some of my writing and my book and information about We Collective and The Returning. Alternatively, they can follow me on Instagram, elanoabancroft_.
And what's your plan for the near future? Are you going to write another book or create more gatherings? Why are you leading now?
Yeah, I think I'm really going to be investing a lot of the next 12 months into strong activist movements and really pushing for a localized economy and a return to localization. It's been a kind of discussion that's been coming up a lot, is what happens post-COVID and how do we move forward while still being strong custodians of the earth and still creating and keeping community alive. And for me, this is a really big instigator for trying to create a future for the children that I want to have and a place for them where they feel seen and heard. So I'm definitely on the fight to decolonize and localize my community and this society as much as possible.
says Elanoa Bancroft. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.